Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. We're on AM 1070 WINA. This is the longest continuously running gardening show anywhere in the world. And we are glad to be with you this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning. The last few days have just been a treat. The weather's been much, much cooler, and it's actually pleasant to be outside and doing things. And it's going to be that way this weekend and on through most of next week at least. So we love these cooler temperatures that we're having. We're not having to worry about temperatures up near 100 degrees. It's just a great time to get out and take care of some of those things that maybe have gotten pushed to the back burner because of the uncomfortable conditions outside. Anything that has been going on out there or that you've noticed out of the ordinary out in the garden over the last few weeks, or you know, now that it's bearable to be out there and walking around, anything that you've noticed out there that doesn't look right or just isn't going quite right, give us a call at 977-1070. We'd be glad to help you out with getting some good information on how to deal with some of the challenges that are out there. And this has been a challenging summer. We had a really, really the last few years, anyway, has been an unusually wet spring. We had a lot of rain, especially through the month of April and into the first part of May, and then things really have gotten hot and hot and hot the last about 6 weeks or so, and dry along with it, and it's really kind of taken its toll on things. Things are looking pretty stressed out there. So if you've got some things that aren't looking good and want some help trying to figure out how to turn things around, give us a call, and we'd be glad to help you out with that. Again, our number is 977-1070. We've got just a lot of stuff to talk about today. Want to get started with something that's coming up starting next Saturday. We are going to be having a good old-fashioned yard sale out at the garden center. We've got a bunch of stuff that, you know, we've been kind of collecting over the years, some of the stuff that got stuck over in corners and things like that. One of a kind, last of its kind items. Things that have been around maybe a little bit too long that we just need to clear out, get ready, get things opened up and ready for some fresh stuff coming in for the fall season. We're going to be just doing some dramatic discounts on a lot of, it's good stuff, but it's just stuff that it needs to find a home. And there's going to be some plant material, some hard goods, some things out of from the inside the garden center and the greenhouse, as well as some things from out in the nursery that are on just deep, deep discount. That'll be starting next Saturday. You can come out and see what all we've got. It'd be a great opportunity to pick up some stuff at probably well below cost and just get some really, really great deals on some things that can help you out with a lot of different projects that you're working on out in the garden, or even, you know, a few home decor items that'll be in that mix as well. We haven't really put the list together. It's something we're going to be working on this coming week, but it's going to be exciting to see all the opportunities for savings that are going to be there. So put that on your calendar. You can come out starting next Saturday. Be a whole bunch of stuff out there that you can get some great savings on and help us clear some things out and make room for all of the stuff that we've got coming in for fall, which is always an exciting time of year when the temperatures start to cool down. We start getting all of the pumpkins and mums and gourds and corn stalks and all that stuff starts coming in. It's always exciting to see that transition. And fall is a great time of year. It's a good time to plant. It's a good time to be working out in the garden, working on projects out there. In some ways, it's a better time to be doing things outside than in the spring, but often kind of gets overlooked as that we don't, the main push for planting and everything seems to be in the spring, but a lot more of it should be in the fall because there are a lot of conditions that just make it better for the plants, easier to work, get better results doing it in the fall. And it's just an exciting time to be working out in the garden, getting things ready for winter, taking care of some areas that maybe we've identified through the summer and the time that we spend outside during the warmer months. It's easy to identify those areas that need some help, and the fall is a great time of year to get out and get that done. And then you'll have everything in place and ready to go. And in the spring, when things warm up and it's time to get back out and enjoy the outdoors, you can do that, and you're not having to put all of your effort into sprucing things up at that point. So, like I said, next Saturday we'll be starting with our Snow's yard sale, getting rid of some of the things that just need to find a home. Like I say, it's all top quality merchandise, but you'll be able to take advantage of some really, really great pricing and help us clear the space out for fall and winter merchandise. One of the things that's going to be coming up really hot and heavy in just another couple of weeks. In fact, the official date is actually Monday, but we usually like to push it just a little bit later, a little more towards the 1st of September, just because August can still be so hot and dry. But we're almost into lawn season. So it's time to really be thinking about what you need to do to get your lawn into shape. I know with the hot, dry summer that we've had and the wet spring, there are a lot of things going on in the lawn that really do make for a difficult situation. We've got a lot of fungal disease that went on earlier in the season. Got some areas that got really seriously browned out and burnt with the summer heat. We've got areas that are really struggling with weed competition with the heavy amount of rainfall that we got earlier in the spring. There were a lot of the pre-emergent controls that went down for crabgrass and things like that they worked really well earlier on in the season, but as the season progressed with all of that rain, the effectiveness really started to wane a little bit earlier than what we would normally like. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of crabgrass that escaped. So kind of the unofficial technical term for it. As the season progresses and the effectiveness of the product starts to diminish, you can get a little bit of the seed that breaks through and germinates anyway, even though you did what you were supposed to do. Just the nature of the weather allows some of that crabgrass to come on through. And we're actually seeing a little bit more of that than normal this year. It's not that the products didn't work. It's just with the excessive rainfall that we had earlier on, they didn't last as long as what we would normally hope that they would last. And as a result, some of the late season germination was able to sneak in past the end of the real effectiveness of the products. So there's a lot of crabgrass out there, a little bit more than like I say, what we would normally see, even in lawns that were treated properly. So combine that with the weather damage from the summer, and you know, lawns are looking a little rough right now. And the good news is we're coming up on the time to do something about it. In conjunction with that, there are a few things that you should be doing right now to help make sure that you're ready for prime seeding season, which is just about 2 weeks away. First is looking at the weeds and other issues that are coming up in the lawn, things that you don't necessarily want that are growing in your lawn areas. If you've got a lot of broadleaf weeds, you can still get in there, particularly this week with the cooler temperatures. This is a good opportunity to work on some of those broadleaf weeds. A lot of the older products that we were using for broadleaf weed control, you had to wait a good 6 weeks between the time you spray the broadleaf weed control and the time it's safe to go back in and reseed. But they've changed up on some of the formulations that are in some of those broadleaf weed control products. And with some of them, it's now possible to come in and reseed as early as 2 weeks after application, which is great. You're able to come in there and take advantage of some of these cooler temperatures now, spray those broadleaf weeds, get those under control, and still be able to seed early in the season, which hasn't really been the case up until now. With that 6 week window, if you sprayed those broadleaf weeds now, you wouldn't really be able to safely reseed until the first part of October, which is almost getting a little bit late. But now you can go out there and spray it now, and you'll still be able to come in the first, second week in September. You'll be past the waiting window. The residues will be gone, and you'll be able to go ahead and safely reseed your lawn in the first part of September, which really is great news and really makes things a whole lot easier timing-wise. So if you've got some broadleaf weeds that have cropped up, and there's always some things that get through, come on a little bit later or what have you, you can go out there and treat that with a little Weed Beater Ultra right now. This is going to be a great week to do that. This weekend you may have to kind of play it by ear, really watch the weather and watch the radar and keep an eye on things. Obviously, you don't want to go out there and spray and then have a thunderstorm crop up an hour later, wash everything off the leaves, and you lose a lot of the effectiveness when that happens. But if you can kind of keep an eye on the forecast, keep an eye on the weather radar, you can get out there as long as you've got 3-4 hours of dry conditions after you spray, you're probably going to be all right. 6 would be ideal, but again, a lot of the formulations on these products now, they're absorbed into the leaf structure of the weeds a little bit quicker than they used to be, and you're able to get a better control even if you do have some rain that crops up soon after you applied. So, like I say, keep an eye on the radar. If you can put it off till the first part of the week, once we get past Sunday, we're going to be dry again, and then the conditions are going to be ideal. You can go out there and put it down. You don't have to worry about rain coming in. But the important thing is to get it done early so that you're safe to come in and reseed as early into the seeding season as possible. Another thing that you really want to look at, and for those of you who are regular listeners on the show and have been for years, this is something we talk about pretty heavy this time of year, is doing a soil test. A simple little soil test to find out where your pH is can go a long way toward getting your lawn healthy and making sure that the products that you put down as far as fertilizer and things like that to help get your lawn growing, they're going to do their job the best they possibly can if the pH is right in the soil. And it's something that you almost can't stress too much. A lot of times we overlook the pH factor in the soil, and that has a tremendous impact on how well the turf is able to absorb nutrient, how well the root system is able to access the nutrients that are found there in the soil, and how happy some of the microorganisms are that are there, that really are the life of the soil and go a tremendous way towards keeping your lawn healthy. We think of fertilizer and water as being those things that keep your lawn healthy and alive and active and looking its best, but really it's a lot of these other things that go on in the soil that really make the difference in how well your turf performs. So having a good balance in your soil between where your pH levels are, the amount of organic matter that's there, and then the nutrients that you're applying in the fertilizers and things like that all work together to make sure that your lawn is going to be the healthiest that it can possibly be. And this is a great time going into, you know, when you're looking at maybe filling in some bare spots and doing your fall renovation and thickening up projects, this is a great time to look at where your pH is. For this area, you want your pH to be in the 6.5 to 7 range. That's what's going to be ideal for a tall fescue lawn in this area. Really, around 6.5. You look at some of the literature, it says 6 to 6.5. Some say 6 to 6.5 to 7. So if you can kind of get in that 6.5 range, you cover both ends of the spectrum. You can cover, everybody's kind of happy at that range. So, that's kind of the target to shoot for. And even well cared for, well maintained older lawns in this area, your pH can be significantly lower than that. So it's a good idea to do a soil pH test. And this, we're not talking about anything really complicated here. All you have to do is go out, take samples with a trowel from down in the soil, get the top 3 or 4 inches of soil, a little small sample from 5 or 6 different locations throughout your lawn. Put those into a bucket, mix them all together with a trowel, and then take just a little small portion of that, drop it into a little pH test kit that you can pick up at the garden center. You can pick up a one-time kit. They run less than $2. And drop the soil in there. There's some powder that you mix in with it. Add a little water. Shake it up real good. Let it sit on the counter for, probably a good 10, 15 minutes. Let everything settle out. Look at the color on it, and it'll give you a good idea, a good ballpark indication of where your pH is. If you want to get a little bit more elaborate than that, you can take a sample and have it sent off to a lab that typically is a little bit more expensive. Depends on what lab you want to send it off to, is what the cost is. But that'll give you a real good pinpoint accurate results. And they typically come with some recommendations on what you need to add to your soil to get the numbers up to where you want them. And they typically are much more broad spectrum, not just do the pH, but also will give you some of the nutrient levels in there as well that'll help you know what kind of fertilizer that you need to add. And all of that, you just bring the results into us at the garden center. We can help get you set up with the products that you need to, things that you need to add to the soil to get the nutrient levels and the pH levels balanced to where you want them to be. But in any case, the most important thing is to do it and get those. Once you get those results back, we can help you with what you need to add. And it's a much more scientific, much more directed way of dealing with the lawn. So often we just make assumptions as to what the lawn needs. We go out there and throw this stuff down, and we can be hitting either side of ideal. You can be putting down way more than what you need, or you may not be putting down anywhere near as much as you need. And in either case, the results are not going to be what you want. If we're not putting down enough, it's, you know, anything is better than nothing, but you're still not going to get the results that you want because you're not adding enough to get the desired results. And of course, if you're using too much, then we can get runoff issues that can lead to surface water contamination that obviously we don't want. You're adding things that end up in our streams and rivers and ultimately down in the Chesapeake Bay, which is, leads to some water pollution issues, which we want to avoid and do anything we can to avoid that. That's not a good situation for anybody. But then also, aside from that, you're just putting money down the drain. And as tough as money is to come by these days, that's definitely something that we want to avoid. We don't want to be doing things that are causing us not just to waste money. All of us work way too hard for what we have to just let it go by the boards that way. But so a soil test really is a very critical and important tool in knowing what to do with your lawn. And it's amazing the difference in the results that you can get when you know what you need to add, know what quantities that you need to add, get that down on there, and then your lawn is much, much healthier. And it's just good to see actual results from what you're doing on your lawn instead of kind of missing the mark and just guessing at it and not getting the desired results that you want. We've got just a couple of seconds before we've got to take a break for the news here at the bottom of the hour. When we get back, we'll be talking about some other things that you can do to help make your lawn and garden the best that it can be and get the great results that you want, as well as taking your phone calls and questions at 977-1070. So we've got to take a break for the news, but we will be back in just a few minutes with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson on this beautiful Saturday morning, helping you with all your gardening questions and problems. Give us a call at 977-1070, and we'd be glad to get you on and help you out with anything having to do with your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, your annuals, perennials, houseplants, anything with leaves and roots, or anything that crawls around on this and tries to eat our leaves and roots. Give us a call, and we'll help you get some good solutions to what's going on with problems that you're facing out in the garden. Before the break, we were talking a little about some things that you can do to help your lawn and get ready for lawn seeding season. A couple of things kind of to go along with that. We were talking about soil testing and finding out where your pH is and knowing what you need to add and how much and everything. One of the things that I wanted to talk just briefly on, one of the primary thing that we think about when it comes to adjusting the pH of your soil is adding lime. And that's typically what is used to raise the pH level. Our soils tend to be acidic in this area, which means that the pH tends to be down below 6 or 6.5, often down in the 5.5 or 5 or even 4.5 range. And typically when the pH is down that low, the solution is to add lime to the soil to bring the pH back up. And that's what lime does. A lot of times people don't really have a good understanding when they come into the garden center of what exactly lime does. And that's the primary benefit from adding lime to your soil. It raises that pH level, gets it up where you want it, which is in about that 6.5 range, and also adds a little bit of calcium and magnesium to the soil, which are essential nutrients for the turf, typically not seen in as real deficient, but can be. And the way to get more calcium and magnesium into the soil is to add lime. And that's typically been what we've used for pH issues and things like that over the years. But it's still a great product, works very, very well. But there are some things that are out there now that actually work a little bit better, a little bit faster than traditional lime to raising the adjusting the pH levels of your soil. And one of the best that we found is a product called Magic Cal. It's a calcium product like lime, but it's been refined a little bit and worked with a little bit so that, it's still a natural product, but it's just been refined to the point where instead of taking as long as 10 months to have an effect on the pH, it actually works almost immediately. As soon as you put it down and it gets watered in, it starts to affect the pH of the soil right away. And with the old pulverized lime, the powdered lime that we used for years and years and years, that would take as long as 10 months before you started to really see an effect on the pH in the soil. The pelleted lime that came out, we first started really using that about 20, 25 years ago, and has really kind of almost completely replaced the old powdered lime. But that pellet lime would work in about 3 months. But the Magic Cal, you start to see effects almost immediately, which is great news. Helps make that transition and get the effectiveness of the product a lot faster, which is anytime you can get the results quicker, it's a big help, especially when you're looking at, a 3 to 10 month window for something to take effect. Having a be able to take effect with no burning or anything like that really is a big plus. So if you, and it costs a little bit more per bag, but the bag covers almost 10 times the area that a traditional bag of pulverized lime or pelleted lime covers. So, even though the cost is a little bit more, it goes a lot further. You don't have to handle as many bags. It's just a lot easier product to use, as well as being a lot effective that much quicker. So if you end up having to add some something to help raise the pH level of the soil, think about using some of the Magi-Cal. You're going to be much happier with the results that you get. We've got a caller on the line. So good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Yes. Hi. I know you're talking about lawn care, but I had a question about my hydrangeas.
Okay.
When's the best time to dig up and transplant?
Actually, you're coming into what's going to be a really good time of year as the weather starts to cool down in the latter part of September and October. It's a great time to It's a good time to be doing a lot of that transplanting. Fall is an excellent time to kind of move things around in the garden. There are a few plants that don't like being moved in the fall. Oak trees, for example, don't particularly care for it. But most of your shrubs, perennials, if you've got to do some transplanting, that's an excellent time to do it.
So late September, October.
Right, and even into November, you'll still be in good shape.
If we, when we dig the new location, dig the holes for the new location, if we put down bumper crop, add that into the soil that we're putting into the hole as well as what we, pack around the plant, is that the same as feeding it with some other fertilizer? Do we need to add other fertilizer, I guess is my question.
Yeah, it's good to fertilize as well. Typically, we don't recommend doing a lot of fertilizing when you first transplant something, just because you don't want to stimulate it into a lot of growth right away.
So what would be an ideal fertilizer to add at that time?
One of the best things that we found to add as you're starting a plant off, either a new one that you've purchased or moving something around in the garden, water it in with a solution of Root Master. It's a liquid. It's got vitamin B1 in it, which is, you think of vitamins for plants, but it really does help with overcoming the stresses of transplant. It helps overcome transplant shock. It also has some rooting hormones in it, which helps to initiate new root growth, which is important anytime you transplant anything. The key thing that you want to have happen is that the plant starts to send out new roots and get growing into the surrounding soil, and this does a great job at helping to stimulate that process, get it off to a good start.
That's Root Master.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You
right,
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. And just as the last caller, we've been talking a lot about lawns and everything this morning, but if you have a question about anything else in your garden, feel free to give us a call. We'll help you out with just about anything that's on your mind this morning. So feel free to call in with any questions, not just lawns. But, Root Master is a great product. We probably don't talk about it enough. But anytime you're transplanting or if you're installing newly purchased trees or shrubs, or perennials, even annuals, Rootmaster does a great job at stimulating that new root growth that helps those plants to get established in their new home and really get them off to a good start. So get some organic matter worked into the soil, then water the plant in with that Rootmaster, and start it off with an application right as you're watering the plant in, getting the soil settled around it. Use the Rootmaster in that solution, and then do it about every couple of weeks for the first month or two that the new plants are in the ground. Use that Root Master solution. It's a very simple thing to mix up. You just it comes in a liquid form. You just add it to a couple gallons of water and in a bucket and pour that around the base of the plant. Allow it to soak in, and the plants really are going to get off to a great start by doing that. So don't forget the root master as you're planting. It really is a great product. Helps you out a lot with getting plants off to a good start. So one of the other things that I want to touch on just briefly with lawn care and things you should be doing in preparation for a seeding season, take a look at the weeds that are in your lawn. A lot of people have a combination of different weeds that are going on in there. And a lot of it's easy to get confused between wiregrass and crabgrass. We see this all the time that you think it's crabgrass, but the crabgrass preventer products that you use early on in the season just aren't touching it. They don't seem to ever make any headway against it. And when we look at it closely, it turns out that it's not crabgrass at all. It's wiregrass. So if you've got some issues with grass weeds in the lawn that the crabgrass preventers early in the season just didn't seem to didn't have any success with, dig up some of it, bring it into the garden center. We'll help you try to identify what it is. Make sure that, you know, if it is crabgrass, see if we can help you make sure that next season when you're putting down the crabgrass control, you're doing it right so that it works the way it should. And if it's not crabgrass, we'll help you identify hopefully what it is. And some of them can be tricky, but we'll get it narrowed down as best we can as to what exactly you have in there and get a strategy for getting it under control, because the control measures really do vary depending on what kind of a grassy weed that you've got. Crabgrass prevention measures aren't going to work on wiregrass because it's a perennial weed. So you want to make sure that you're going at it with the right strategy so that you're going to be successful with control. We've got another caller on the lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about the lawn.
Okay.
One section is, well, the front yard is beautiful, but the backyard is nothing but white clover.
Okay.
And it's pretty, and the little bunny rabbits love it, but it's completely eaten out or taken over the grass. What can I do to get rid of the clover without just, I mean, do I have to, like, spray it, kill it, and then completely reseed, or?
Well, hopefully you won't have to completely reseed. Clover is one of those weeds that, in a lot of cases, when you can get it controlled, get it out of the way, it's amazing how much desirable turf grass there is left in amongst the clover. So I wouldn't give up complete hope on it. I would, like you say, get out there and spray it and get it under control. Clover, especially this time of year, can be a little bit more tricky than some of the other weeds. It may take a couple of applications of the Weed Beater Ultra to get it completely killed off. But do that now, and you may have to do it again in another couple of weeks, but you'll still be able to get it under control early enough in the season that you'll be able to come in and reseed the areas that need it and thicken those areas up.
Okay, because probably a couple of years ago we had just a small spot. But we have it aerated and reseeded every year. And apparently what's happened, it just, you know, maybe it spreads or something.
Yeah.
Aerated, whatever.
And, well, and like with most of the weeds that are out there, if you've got a little bit this year, you're going to have a little bit more next year and a lot more the year after that.
Right,
It spreads, you know, all those little white flowers throw out seed, and that seed just continues to spread. That clump will get bigger and bigger and bigger the longer it's there.
I know my brother, I said something about killing it, and he said, oh, no, that the white clover, you know, puts oxygen into the soil, so, you know, not to get rid of it, but, you know.
Right. Yeah.
If I don't, I'm not going to have any grass either. But.
Right. And,
okay.
You know,
okay.
As you said, white clover is not the worst lawn weed to have in the world. It does, it actually puts nitrogen into the soil, which it's a nitrogen fixer, which actually can help to fertilize the grass. But you have to be willing to put up with the difference in texture and leaf shape and the white flowers and all that, which some people don't mind. Some people actually enjoy seeing that out there. Like you say, the rabbits love it and everything.
Yeah, they do.
But, you know, some people want that nice uniform look to the turf. And with, you know, having that white clover in there, you're obviously not gonna get that. You're going to have something different in there, which some people can tolerate. Other people's taste
is... Okay, all right.
You know,
okay, so it's just a decision I have to whether to accept it or, you know.
Right. Like I say, it's, you know, it's not the worst lawn weed that you can have, but it is something that a lot of people don't like to see.
Right, because, like, I mean, when you're just driving by and you're looking at it, it looks beautiful. I mean, it's nice and green and plush.
Right.
But when you get up on it, you know, of course, it's nothing but the little clovers, you know, with the little white seeds. But.
Right.
Okay, I have one other question, too, about a Bradford pear.
Okay.
It had a lot of little seedlings underneath it. Is there any way to get rid of those other than just get in there and clip them?
Are they just coming up just kind of random around the area underneath them, or are they right at the base of the trunk?
They're all over. They're in the entire perimeter of from the trunk out to the edge of the tree. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like maybe they're little seedlings coming up. Some of the pear, ornamental pears, will drop seed that, you know, will set fruit and drop seeds that will come up as little trees. There are a couple different ways that you can control them. One is to... a lot of times, just a, you know, we need them down and put a good layer of mulch over them. We'll take care of them.
It's mulched now. It's pretty heavy.
Okay.
They still come up, but these are actually coming up from the roots, because some of them I actually will, you know, I'll get a hold of and I'll pull like maybe a 3-foot strand of the root, and then I'll just clip it off.
Oh, okay. So
they're actually coming from the root and not from seeds, the little pears.
Okay, in that case, really the best way to do it is just to keep clipping them off. Another thing that you could try doing is putting some landscape fabric up underneath the mulch. That'll put a physical barrier there that they have a hard time getting through. Will help to keep them from coming up. And other than that, you know, there is a product called Sucker Stopper that will help to keep water sprouts and things like that from coming up, but if they're coming up directly from the root system, it's hard to get that down onto the roots and you know, underneath that mulch and all that kind of stuff. So,
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, buddy. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but then we'll be back in a minute with more of the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070 WINA.
In this exhibit, we have displayed things once thought to be extinct, but found alive and well.
Ah.
For example, here we have the mountain pygmy possum, declared extinct in 1896, but rediscovered alive in Australia.
He's so cute.
Over here we have the La Palma giant lizard, thought to be extinct since 1500, but found thriving in the Canary Islands.
That's incredible.
And this is the crown jewel of our collection.
That looks like a checkbook.
Oh, madam. That's no ordinary checkbook. It's free checking.
My word. Where did you find that?
At Union First Market Bank.
I had no idea free checking still existed.
It's rare, but it can still be found alive at Union First Market Bank. You can even take it home with you.
Oh, I want one.
Me too.
You don't have to go far to find free checking.
Bravo.
It's right down the street in its natural environment. Union First Market Bank. Union First Market Bank, member FDIC.
And we're back with the Snow Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson. Our number is 977-1070. If you have a question that you would like to ask, we've got just a few more minutes. So always hate it when we get to the end of the show and somebody calls in right at the last and we don't have time to get them. So if you've got a question for us, give us a call right now. We'll get you on. And right on cue, we got a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning. I do have a question about wiregrass, even though they just talked a little bit about it.
Okay. All right. What can we help you with?
John calling.
What can we do for you, John?
I heard the gentleman recently talking a little bit about wiregrass, and I was going to call in. And I have a good crop on it, and I know perseverance and hard labor is the best way to get rid of it by digging it, but I'm hoping there is some kind of a breakthrough on a chemical form that can help me out.
Is this in the lawn?
Yes.
Yeah, the best way to get rid of it in the lawn is to spray it with a glyphosate-based product like Roundup or Cleanup. And unfortunately, it takes out
killing everything.
Right. But unfortunately, as you dig it out, any root system that gets left behind, or any of those runners that get left behind where it breaks off, it actually just sends up a new shoot and keeps right on going.
I know that. I've got some areas pretty well whipped. I know, but you can't do it in 1 year.
Right.
And it does take that perseverance, but I was hoping there was some kind of a chemical that you could put down that would help this, because I know that the root system is, there's more root than there is surface product.
That stuff seems to go forever underground.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an incredible thing. I mean, it's like a legume, you know. It's underground more than it is on the surface. But so there still is nothing as far as a chemical you can put down without killing your whole lawn.
No. There is one product that we've seen out there. It's actually a grass herbicide. It's one that's used to kill off grass in areas where you don't want grass to grow, and you can use it at a greatly reduced rate early in the season to help suppress the wiregrass. But I'm hesitant to recommend it, because you've got to get the rate just right and get the timing just right.
I guess I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, and that's pulling and digging, you know, trying to get those roots out. I did one; it got away from me a couple years ago. I had an addition to my house, and it's amazing how prolific it is. And I do know the system. The system is just get down there, down and dirty, and pull and dig and try to get that underground root thing out. And if you do it long enough, you can whip it.
But it, you know, like you say, the key is just to be persistent and dogged about it. You've got to have a lot of determination to stay on it.
You really do, and most people wouldn't do it as I do, but I'm one of those few that I'm going to whip it.
Well, I do nothing but encourage you in that battle, and we're behind you, and stick with it.
And, I'd rather be watching football, but but you know, it's just don't make it an arduous thing. You work at it for an hour, and it's amazing how much you can get done in an hour. And if you do it enough hours, eventually you say, "Well, I've got that section done."
It's kind of like eating an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite
true.
At a time.
Well, I was hoping that you were going to give me some. The crabgrass pre-emergent stuff in the spring has worked really well. I've done that, but I've also, you know, have religious about digging the clumps out before they seed, you know, reseed themselves. So that's there again. It's a two-sided effort. You can't do it all with chemicals, but you can eventually come out on top.
Right, and that's actually one part of the equation that we often overlook, and that's making sure that you get the plants dealt with, either keep them mowed down or get out there and pull those clumps up, like you say, before they have a chance to set seed, because all that seed does is give you a new crop of soldiers to battle against next year.
Yeah, next August. But right. Even mowing it down, you know, they'll lay right down, and that seed will be there. So they pull them up, and you know, it's it's not without effort. It's not
right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really do enjoy listening to the program.
I appreciate you calling.
All right. And thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye bye.
Our number is 977-1070. One of these days, I keep hoping every year we go to the trade shows and everything, and there's always new stuff coming out on the market, and I keep hoping one of these years we're going to come back and we're going to have a magic bullet for getting rid of wiregrass, but so far it just hasn't happened yet, unfortunately. We keep looking. Trust me, we keep looking. And somebody is going to come up with that breakthrough, and when they do, it's going to make them a fortune. But That's if it's able to get through the whole EPA process and all of that. There was actually a new broadleaf herbicide that came on the commercial market a year or so ago that DuPont came out with. It was a what looked like a great new product, great effectiveness, had fewer of the environmental side effects that that some of the older chemistry had. It looked like it was going to be a great new product to use against a lot of broadleaf weeds. So a lot of commercial companies around the country had adopted it. We did not, but a lot of the, you know, some of the other companies around the country did. We're trying it out this past year and found out that it had an unexpected side effect in that any conifers, any like white pines or Norway spruce in particular that were in the area, Colorado blue spruce, any of those trees that were in the areas that were treated, this stuff kicked their butts. And DuPont has said they're in the process of putting together a voluntary recall on the product. They've had a tremendous amount of trees that were damaged around the country with this stuff that supposedly was going to be a good new tool in the arsenal, but unfortunately turned out not to be the case. So with any of this stuff, you want to be careful what you use and how you use it, and really evaluate it before going widespread and full steam ahead, wide-scale applications with this stuff. But fortunately, that's not in any of the products that we've been using or have on the shelf, so we don't need to worry about it, but just something to be aware of that's out there. Come out and see us out at the Garden Center today. We've got a great selection of plant material, trees and shrubs, perennials, annuals. Spruce up some color. If you've got some areas that are looking a little bit tired, we've got some stuff that you can pop in there real quick that will help to spruce those areas up. We've got some great fresh local peaches and apples and zucchini and yellow squash and peppers and cucumbers. Great stuff that you can take home and eat right off the shelf. And as always, we'll be right back here next Saturday for the Snow Nose Gardening Show. Have a great week.